find out what is most important to you. And once you do, just make sure you never lose sight of it. If it's yourself, then so be it. I don't think that you'll be successful, but I think you can get pretty far. For me in particular, it was my understanding that the people that I surround myself with are team members. I'm there for them. They're not here for me. I think that is probably just like checking your ego in at the door. Sometimes you might be the boss, so to speak, but there are times where they tell you what you need to do, right? And then there are times where you might tell them what to do. So check your ego at the door. Nobody's better. Nobody's bigger than anybody. You're not bigger than anybody just because you have a specific title. And then come into work every day willing to learn and collaborate and listen. So just simple things that you just need to live by. Life doesn't have to be so darn hard. Just have fun.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with you and another episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Kayla Sloan, business systems expert, and with Adam Ashton of the What You Will Learn podcast. Today, I'm really excited to have as my guest on the InnovaBuzz podcast, Jonathan Grzybowski. He's the chief marketing officer and a co-founder of Penji, an on-demand graphic design service. Jonathan also hosts the Blind Entrepreneur podcast. Penji grew from zero sales in 2017 to working with over 1,000 brands in just a little over a year. Their focus on their customers and on their mission of creating jobs and opportunities for young entrepreneurs in underserved communities is quite inspiring and underpins the success of Penji. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. Just remember, very important person. Go check it out. It's free to join. And if you are already a member, just log in and you'll get your resources. In our discussion today, Jonathan talked to me about the importance to the success of a business of solving a real problem that people have. We talked about surrounding yourself with good people and how Penji interviews candidates for their team. And Jonathan told me why you should always talk to your customers and ask them why. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Jonathan Grzybowski. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome today to the InnovaBuzz podcast from Camden in New Jersey, the USA, Jonathan Grzybowski, who's the Chief Marketing Officer and one of the co-founders of Penji, which is an on-demand graphic design service. Welcome to the podcast, Jonathan. It's a great privilege to have you here as my guest.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I'm excited to discuss and be able to answer any curveballs that you may have my way.
Now, Penji grew from zero sales, essentially, in 2017 to today working with, well, actually over a year ago, working with 1,000-plus brands. And so I'm really looking forward to learning more about how you achieved that pretty substantial growth in just a year and about how you overcame some of the inevitable challenges that would have come with that. So before we start talking about all things business growth and online services, give us a little bit of background. How did you get to where you are today and what were some of the key moments in that journey?
Yeah, I would say Yeah, you know, somebody, a good friend of mine, asked me this a very similar question, and I said one word to encompass all of it is grit. And to kind of go through the journey, I think you'll find that regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the failure, I was able to get back up. I was able to work with those who I surround myself with, and be able to just build really good, great relationships. And I've worked for corporate America. I've had one real job my entire life. I worked for corporate America. I worked for Apple for a couple of years, and just had this desire to want to do more. I ended up starting lawn mowing companies and marketing companies and web development companies and other marketing companies. I mean, there's so many things that I've multiple businesses that I've created, and they've all failed. And the main reason for that failure has been that I haven't been able to, at that time, create something, work with a group of talented people that legitimately solves a problem in people's lives. And fast forward, I'd say, to kind of hit your point earlier, the success of Penji comes from the ability that we're solving a problem that a lot of people have. We've done the research in order to make sure that that's true. And then we're just doubling down on just quality customer service and delivery and execution in order to make that possible. So I'd say that's a pretty good summary of maybe almost 10 years of entrepreneurship struggles.
Yeah. So is that one of the key lessons from what you describe as failures, that you weren't solving problems that were things that really kept people awake at night?
I'd say there's two things, really. Number one, it's understanding the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you work with. I think you really have to understand who they are and what they do, and what makes them good at what they do. And then I would say the second thing would be you're right. Just creating something that people will legitimately use, and it solves a really big pain point for a large majority of the people. And in this case, it's graphic design. There's only 86% of small businesses in the world, at least America, they don't have a graphic designer. They've never hired a graphic designer before. And so that leads a lot of businesses that freelance, a lot of businesses, business owners that potentially do the designs themselves. I've been in that predicament. When I started my own marketing agency years and years ago, the first decent amount of customers that we had, I did all the designs myself, and I don't have a background in graphic design. I'm terrible at graphic design. I've never designed a good logo in my entire life. So that just kind of puts things into perspective.
Mm. And I think at least you acknowledge that that's not one of your strengths. So I think a lot of business owners go into business and they do a website. That's been my experience. They do a website, or they do some business cards and a logo, and they're really attached to it. And it's actually, first of all, looks horrible. Secondly, violates all the standard things that make for a good brand and a good logo. And then it's really hard later on to get them to work with somebody who's good at graphic design and who's good at brand image to actually make that work for them.
Well, I think that yes, but in addition to that, it's also the idea of what can you afford? Because there's a lot of, like, everybody wants a nice brand, right? Like, I don't think you could talk to one person that's going to like, yeah, I don't want my brand to be cool. But like, how are you able to make that possible? And I think that's the hard part, because a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, startup founders, et cetera, they have this idea that what they want to do is they want to go to like freelance websites. But a lot of that stuff takes time, and you have to interview them, and you have to talk to them, and you have to get them acclimated with your brand, and you know, potentially interview them. Or what happens if you want to bring on a customer, or excuse me, if you want to bring on a new employee that just does graphic design? is that graphic designer going to be able to just do graphic design? Or if you're a small business, you probably need them to do like 800, wear 800 caps. And they may not be good at those 7,999 caps because they're really good at graphic design. And so what we wanted to do was create a platform and create a place and a service for people to sign up, get the graphic design services that they need, talk to a reliable team, a reliable designer, but not necessarily have to fork over the agency tier pricings that a lot of businesses charge. That, let's be honest, it takes a lot of time in order for them to do that. So they rightfully so can charge what they charge. But we wanted to be able to come in and say, hey, listen, design is one of the greatest differentiators in business. Now you have the ability to differentiate yourself. The rest is up to you to execute whatever it is that you need to do in order to make yourself successful.
Yeah. So give us a bit of a snapshot of what Penji exactly is and how it works.
Sure. Penji is an on-demand graphic design service that gives businesses, our customers, our members, the opportunity to receive unlimited graphic design at a flat monthly rate. So you pay, by the time of this, I'm sure this will go live, our new pricing is going to be up. So it's $369 a month, and you're able to submit as many graphic designs that you want on our platform. Our platform organizes everything for you. It allows you to communicate with your designers. It allows you to download and submit your projects. And it also allows you to provide revisions. So, and that's all within a web platform. So now what that helps you is that it helps you to eliminate emails, because let's be honest, if you're in the marketing world or if you've ever received a graphic design, I can almost guarantee you that you've had a conversation through email that is at least 15 to 20 threads saying, hey, change this or change that, or I don't like that color, or maybe you spelled this wrong. And then the designer comes back and says, where the hell is this? Like, I don't know where the word the is. It's listed that 1,000 times. So we make it a little bit easier. We make it simple. We make it fast, and we make it affordable.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good description. So thanks for that. Now, the growth of Penji over a year to 1,000 plus customers, what were some of the key factors in achieving that sort of growth? Because that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it did take a little bit longer than a year. I can say that. We're about a year and I say year, a little bit over a year and a half old right now. And we probably got that within, I say, 14 to 15 months of in business. Mm-hmm. And the way that we were able to do that is, this is not going to be sexy. So whoever is listening right now, you can write this down all you want, but I can assure you it's nothing that you probably already don't know. When we got the fastest growth that we were able to obtain was the first like 100 customers. So we got 10 customers really quick, like within like a week. But then the next 100 took a really long time. And then from 100, the next 1,000 became that much faster. So when we started without any software at all, without any service, we just said, this is what we think we want to do. Let's see if the masses want it. So as a business prior to, we asked our customers, pretty simple. And a lot of them said, yeah, you know, I think this actually works. So we got our first customers that way. And then we still weren't convinced. We weren't satisfied. Then what we did was we created a survey, and we asked around 200 of our closest friends, and we said, if we build this, would you buy it? Essentially, that's just the cliff notes of what you need to know. And we asked a ton of other questions as well. And a large majority of them said, yes, I will buy this. And so we said, okay, well, come on in. Well, we just created it. You said you wanted to buy it before. Are you willing to pay for it? And a decent amount of them said that they did. And that was our basis. So now we have our basis, and then we ask for referrals. We talk to every single one of our customers. We still do that to this day, and we will never stop doing it. And we ask them very simple questions when they sign up. Why? Why did you sign up? What are we solving for you and your business? And what are you now able to do that you weren't able to before. And a large majority of the answers revolved around time, revolved around saving them time, money, etc. So then we jotted down every single answer that our customers gave us, and we used that as marketing leverage and advertisement leverage for future advertisement campaigns that we've wanted to use. So now, because we know the silver bullet that our customers, the verbiage that our customers gave us, we now have a silver bullet to give to future customers. And so now we still use that to this day, the quotes that they give in some variation and form, we use that for our advertising, which leads me to the next point in our growth. We used advertising, and specifically we used retargeting campaigns. So we did spend a little bit of money in order for advertisements, and we grew that way. The next thing would be SEO. If anybody tells you that SEO is a dying art, I will give you clear, definitive proof that that person is a liar and doesn't understand what SEO is, because SEO has been a huge driving factor of our notoriety, our brand, and our lead generation. And so now we have all these people going to our website on a monthly basis, and we're able to retarget them. That is the inbound marketing strategy that we've been able to create. There's drip campaigns, there's lead funnels, there's demos, there's a whole bunch of other things that are associated with the inbound, right? And now we have the other aspect, which is the most hardest one, is the outbound. And so we do a lot of cold emails, and we send emails to people that say, hey, that are very specific. So I want to be very clear. The first line in all of our emails that we send out are the most specific emails that you could possibly encounter. So when that person reads the email, they know for a 100% fact that this is not a bland, cold, boring email. If somebody were to send an email to me, I'll give you an example, right? So just to kind of give you an idea of who I am a little bit more, if we have a bunch of outreach specialists and they say something like, hey, Jonathan, notice that you love running and you're doing a marathon this year. I also noticed that you love WWE and you like wrestling. Were you able to watch WrestleMania a couple weeks ago? And then that one line is a great introduction into the next line, which is, can we talk to you a little bit more about your graphic design processes, et cetera, et cetera. And now you just take all that recipe right there. You take a bunch of gasoline, you add fuel to the fire, and that's essentially the blueprint as to how we were able to do what we were able to do. There's a lot of other things that go into it. I do have to be very clear. That's easiest digestible way to do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of really great advice in that. And I'm sure there's a lot of hard work that underpins that and goes behind that. So I really love the idea of starting off with talking to the customers and understanding from those that are using the service already why they're using it and what it's doing for them, and then using that information and that language to build your marketing, advertising material and all the stuff that you do with SEO. I'm curious, with the email example you gave, how do you determine with cold emails, how do you determine what is somebody's interest so that you can have that kind of very personal conversation to start with?
Like, for example, if you were to write an email about me and you would want to learn more about how would you know that I'm running a marathon?
Yeah.
And how would you know that I like WWE?
That's right.
Yep. Very simple. Twitter. Look at their social media content. It can literally take you 15 seconds in order for you to get a better understanding of who that person is. You don't even have to review everything. You could just give a quick glance and type the person's name and then say, Jonathan Grzybowski, put it in Google, go on images or whatever, or maybe find the social media links, look at the last two things that the person saw, that the person posted. Go to the media folder on Twitter if you want, or if their Instagram is there, that too. I mean, that's a great resource. But now the question is, well, what happens if you can't find them? Then go back to the business. Find the business probably has some type of social media platform. Find what they did. Hey, I noticed that you gave back to charity a couple weeks ago. How was it? You know, it's so awesome that you're a community conscious company. We are too. And then that just starts the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a really valuable piece of advice there. And it kind of talks to something that I'm very passionate about, which is taking all of today's technology that we have, particularly with automated marketing and automated email sequences, and actually injecting some form of humanity back into that. Rather than...
I mean, I get like 4 to 5 emails, messages a day on LinkedIn. And every single freaking time that somebody sends me a message, it's like this terrible automated response. Like, it has no substance at all. It's like, hi, I'm a so-and-so specialist, and I'm really good at web development. And I'm just like, man, like, if you just cared 1% about who I am as a human being, I may respond. And to this day, I can count on one hand to the amount of people that I actually responded to, because they actually did a little bit of research about me. And I'm not saying that you need to understand everything that I do, and I'm not trying to say I'm like this egotistical person, but you need to care. Like, if you want to get business from somebody, you gotta invest at least 15 to 30 seconds into before you send the email.
Yeah. Well, we do business with people we like and trust.
And sure, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, how many times have you heard that said? But you've got to put that into practice. Also, the other thing that I keep telling people, and this is true with a lot of things online, there is really, yes, you've got the technology platforms online, and yes, there are things there that can accelerate, make things more time efficient, make some processes more time efficient, but the danger is forgetting the humanity part of it. And if you bump into somebody on the street in real life, and you just say to them, hello, I'm selling whatever it is I'm selling, it's unlikely that they're going to buy from you. Whereas if you bump into them on the street and you say, oh, hello, I see you're wearing or you're using an iPhone. I've got an
awesome,
iPhone.
Yeah, awesome shoes.
awesome shoes. I like those. I've got a pair of those myself. Or I'm thinking of buying a pair of those. What do you think of them? And then immediately there's a connection there. And, you know, if the relationship then develops to the point where you can start talking about other stuff, which is business, then things might happen. So, yeah. And that's the way it has to be online. So, yeah.
100% agree with you.
It's a really great message. One of the other things I'm curious about, and I know you mentioned this to me before we started recording, was around the processes and procedures that you have in place. Because with the rapid growth that you've had, and I'll come back to growing a team in a moment as well, but I'm assuming that there was a lot of new people come on board, and so that everybody had to get on the same page in terms of your vision and your mission, and then, you know, how things actually operated on a day-to-day basis. So tell us a little bit about how you got all of that aligned.
Yeah, I would say it's a never-ending this is the hamster wheel to some degree. It's just one of those things that you're constantly doing. The script isn't working, then we need to fix it. The process isn't working, we need to fix it. We use Google Drive for a large majority of the processes and procedures and how we organize things. And there's probably folders within folders and folders. So, there isn't necessarily like a clear cut strategy or way that the processes and procedures take place, but I would say that you have to look at the business. Like, I have I submit a weekly report to the team in terms of like how things are going and what we need to do better. And you just need to be able to own your own domain. So for me, it's growing the company. It's the growth. It's the the lead generation, it's the sales. And so if one area of the business is working but the other is not, then okay, can we double down on the thing that is working and can we amplify it to a million? And if the answer is yes, then okay, let's do that. But what does that look like? Sometimes it takes like 2-3 days to a week, maybe 2 weeks in order to amplify that one thing to 1,000 because, or to 1,000,000, because there's so many intricate portions of that little area. So I think it's just this relentless, like, organization is key. I use reminders on like my Mac, and that probably has about like 10 to 15 things done on a daily basis. I sometimes write things down if I have like random thoughts in my head. But for the most part, I have like a pretty substantial to-do list that I'm constantly checking. As soon as I have an idea, or as soon as I have a task that is like given to me from somebody or I do for myself, I write it down. Immediately I write it down because I need to be able to complete that thing. And if I leave it up to my own brain in order to figure it out, I'm screwed. So those are just like some small things within my own internal like space that I use in order to be more organized.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some great tips there. And Google Drive certainly is a wonderful tool. It's easy to share the document with people and also work on the documents at the same time. And it is important, as you say, to keep working on those processes and systems and keep improving them.
Well, I think I want to add one more thing, if that's okay, because yeah. I think one of the hardest things to do is like letting, so we have about 45, I think now we're probably about 48 employees. And I think one of the hardest things to do is letting other people know about your processes, or like you need to be able to educate somebody else in order to do what you do. And I think it's really easy for you to just sit down and tell somebody what it is that you do for like on a day-to-day basis, but being able to translate that to somebody else, I think is incredibly difficult. And sharing the information, as in like leads and sales and like advertising analytics and things like that, being able to share that, if you can find a way to do that correctly, I think that is the key, the true key to success.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. Letting go is a big challenge, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because your ego's in the way. It's just real, you know? There's a lot of ego that goes into business, and maybe you believe that deep down inside they can't do it as good as you can. And I would say that they probably could do a better job than you.
Hmm. Yeah, and you did mention being focused on your area of specialties, and for me, that's where you add the greatest value. So by not letting go of something where you're not adding as much value and also somebody else could be doing a better job, you're actually detracting.
Mm-hmm. Could be, yeah, absolutely.
All right. You mentioned earlier about surrounding yourself with the right people, and I know, you know, growing a team obviously was really critical to the rapid growth of Penji. And you mentioned 45 employees or so. How did you go about growing the team from that very low base of the co-founders and then building, and how did you identify what expertise you needed to start with and so on?
Yeah, I'd say in the just caught a yawn for some reason. In the very beginning, we probably didn't know what to like where the areas were needed, but we more so hired people based off of what we thought that they would be good at and what we originally needed. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that what we originally hired them to do isn't what they're actually doing now. Yeah. And I could say that for every single person, at least the core team. But no, I mean, how were we able to do it? Number one, we're a community conscious organization. So a large majority of what we do is that we go into underserved communities and we try to provide jobs and internship opportunities to the students and the residents within that area. We're currently located in Camden, New Jersey, which, if you know anything about Camden, New Jersey, is a predominantly it's not an affluent area. There's a lot of bad stigma that goes around with it, but we partnered with an organization called HopeWorks, and what they do is they train the youth and they train students, and they graduate from their program with tech skills. And these tech these former students, once they graduate their program, they need to find jobs, and we are able to hire some of those graduates and provide jobs and internship opportunities for them. That's one area, and partnering up with a local nonprofit, I think that does that. I think is a really great way in order to find quality people. We've also been able to hire people that are overseas, and we've also had people that have came with us from all of our past failures that are still with us today. But the overarching theme that I would say, that when we hire people, we ask very specific questions to get a better understanding of who they are as humans. And we ask them, what is your dream? And how can we help you? How can we help you obtain that dream? And whatever the answer to that question is, gives us a clear indication as to who that person is and what do they value most. And surprisingly enough, and we don't hold them against it, but maybe your answer might be a little bit selfish. I want to make $1 million a year. Okay, that's great. I don't necessarily know that you'd be a good fit for us, but there, we've received answers such as like, I want to help my family. I want to make a name for myself. I want to be able to give back to my community. I mean, there's so many things that we've heard, that we're completely okay with. And that was a large majority as to why we moved forward with that particular individual. So we want to make sure that when we hire people, that we hire good people, that we hire good quality, people that care about the same things that we care about.
I think if you encapsulate what you've just said, or if I encapsulate what you've just said, it boils down to hiring for culture, not for and attitude, and not for skills necessarily. And what you said earlier about many of the people are actually doing different jobs than the one they were hired for in the first place speaks to that as well.
Well, skill, believe it or not, is the last criteria that we actually hire for. You could have all the skill in the world, but if you're not personable, if you don't have the right morals, if you're not like just a good human, there's a strong chance that you could be LeBron James and we may not hire you because you don't fit the rest of the criteria. Are you dependable? Are you always on time? Like these small little things you could test. You could test that in a lot of different elements. You could test that in a phone call. You could test that in an in-person meeting. You could test that by a project that you give the individual and what the detail is that they're able to obtain. So there are multiple ways that you're able to test this individual before you bring them on. And you know, we've been able to do a very similar approach to that for every single person that has ever come across our business.
Yeah. All right. Now, you mentioned that you're a community conscious organization. You talked about the issues that your area, Camden, New Jersey, is facing. And I lived in Philadelphia back in the mid-1980s, and Camden was often the butt of jokes by Philadelphians. And I think the issues you're referring to were probably around in those days also. So it's good to hear that there's organizations there trying to change things in that way. Now, you talk a little bit in your podcast, and I'll come to the podcast in a moment too, but you talk about being purpose-driven. And so talk to us a little bit about that purpose and some of the other things that you're doing there in building that tech community in Camden.
Yeah, so I mean, you're right. It was the butt of the jokes to a lot of Philadelphians, and it still is to this day in some capacities. I'd say that it took, I'm 30 years old. It probably took about 29.75 years in order for me to figure out my purpose. I've spent maybe years just trying to figure out who I am as a human being. What do I stand for? What is my mission? What is my vision? And kind of creating my own self-diagnosis. And I probably spent so much time trying to figure out that one little line that it took me away from what the actual goal of my life is. And at the end of the day, I want to be able to help people. And I want to be able to help people execute whatever it is that they want to execute, their business, their life, etc. But I'm also at the same time an employer, and I want to be able to make sure that I'm there for them, that they're not here for me, I'm there for them. And that level of clarity for me was just like that, this aha moment. And it's a motivating factor where now I have all this pressure, which I personally thrive under pressure. I like that pressure. I'm not here to, like, every day I live my life, I want to make sure that I'm providing my absolute best to them. Because if I fail them, then what? Then what? Like, we all lose at the game of life and start back over again. And so I constantly keep myself to the highest level of standard, because if I'm not able to do it, then who else will be able to? And so that's definitely like a large component of like the purpose behind my life. And when it comes to the community aspect of it, you also want to be able to do good, right? Like, it doesn't, you could have all the money in the world, right? But if you're not able to have fun, if you're not able to share it with people, if you're not able to give that wealth to other people, I think that you're going to live a very unfulfilled life. And that's just my personal opinion. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that may disagree with me, and I'd be more than happy to talk to them about it. But I just think that if you're able to provide opportunities for others to succeed and thrive, and they're able to find out what they want to do, even if it is working for your business for a couple of months or a year or so, I think it's incredibly strong, a strong relationship and bond. And so the purpose that we have here in Camden is just, again, to provide jobs and internship opportunities in underserved communities, because they are the ones that are most neglected. And when I go back to the original statement of grit, I am not a kid that has come from this wealthy background. My parents are a truck driver. My dad is a truck driver. My mom works in a school district and as a lunch lady. So, like, there's no way that I've been given all this. I've had to work for it. And a lot of people in underserved communities are at times discriminated because of their background, maybe because of their race or their religion or their name, and they don't get the opportunity that another person may. And so we want to be able to shine a light in that area of the world and be able to give them the same opportunities that they deserve, as long as they're qualified, as long as they're good people.
Hmm. Yeah, well, one of the things I really like about that, of course, is the idea that, you know, you look after your employees and they look after your customers. So that's a kind of a key element to success, which is perhaps a byproduct of your purpose of actually helping people and helping the community through providing employment opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that's huge. I think a lot of businesses can do that. You just have to want it. You have to care. Unfortunately, a lot of people just don't. They want to be able to find like the cheapest option in order to do things, which is fine. You know, it does work in some degree. But when you're hiring somebody, make sure that they actually care about you. If you were to hire somebody like Penji, like, you could say that Penji is a relatively affordable option to graphic design, and that's fine. But we genuinely care about every single person that interacts with us. Again, we call them. We try to understand your brand a little bit. We ask questions. We communicate with you in a timely manner, and we deliver the designs that you want when you want it on time, within under 48 hours. So, like, we have the dependability aspect of it. We have the reliability and we have the affordability when it comes to the business. And translate that to, like, your own employees as you grow. You just need to be able to find other what matters to you most in an employee.
Mm. Yeah, great advice. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, you also run the Blind Entrepreneurship podcast, which is probably a bit of a an account of your journey. So tell us a little bit more about the podcast.
Sure. The podcast was created because, number one, entrepreneurship is extremely lonely. It is really hard to meet people. It's really hard to have people understand what it is that you do on a daily basis. I'm sure you can relate to that to some degree.
Yeah.
And so like now that we, so that was the original reason as to why I created it, just to cure my unhappiness in life. And this was like 2-3 years ago before Penji. Now as we grow the company, now I'm able to give people a platform in order for them to share how they scaled their company. And now I'm able to hear and ask questions that serves a widespread audience about growing companies and stories. And now we're all able to, including myself, we're able to pick and choose some of the points that these our guests make in order to apply whatever it is that they say into their business immediately. And so that was kind of the basis of the why behind it. And so we talk to people, we interview people, we ask really heavy hitting questions about growth and scalability and a lot of things that you're asking today. And we ask them on a podcast. And what better way to learn than to listen to somebody? It's a great way to run. Like if you're running, right? If you're running or if you're doing something in the background at work, rather than listening to music, why don't you just like put on a podcast and you don't have to listen intently, but maybe you hear like 2 or 3 sentences every couple minutes or so. And that one sentence that you hear is like absolute gold. Mm. I mean, like that could revolutionize your business.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast by Eric Johnson, the podcast talent coach, yesterday. And one of the messages he really hammers very strongly is that podcasting is such an intimate medium and that people listen to your podcast because they want the company. So it's like you say, if you're out running or I often do it when I'm driving long distances, I will always have podcasts on. So there is an element of that. But as you say, that often when you're listening to something, there'll be one or two golden nuggets in what you hear that is a lesson that you can take away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hmm. All right. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. I could go on exploring a whole lot more about the growth of Penji and what you've achieved there and where it's headed. But I'm aware of the time. So I think it's a good time to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help the listener who's primarily an innovator and leader in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got 5 questions. Hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that'll inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, great. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
They need to be able to understand themselves. They need to be able to know what makes them happy. They need to be able to have an oasis for themselves. It could be knitting. It could be talking to their mother or father, whatever it may be. For me, it's running. For me, it's working out. And I found out that getting away from business has been able to allow me to be more innovative than actually just sitting on a computer all day and talking to people and emailing people.
Hmm. So do you find when you're out running that you often get new ideas?
Yeah, I have to stop all the time, not because I'm tired. And, you know, and at times I am, and it is an excuse, but more so to be able to just say like, oh my God, this is a good idea. Like, we gotta do this, and I gotta write it down.
Yeah, yeah, I find that when I'm a keen bike rider, I find that on the bike often, particularly if I'm on my own. I'll often get lots of ideas, and sometimes I come back reciting the things because I don't actually stop to note stuff down. I kind of rely on my memory. But when I usually get up to about 6 ideas when it starts to become really hard to remember everything.
I can imagine.
A better way.
You have a much better memory than me, man. I'm like one sentence and I'm screwed.
I have to recite them. I just keep reciting it until I get back. All right. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
The best thing that I've done to develop ideas is more so just having like a internal process that allows me to pick or choose if this is a good idea or not. Because a lot of the ideas that I come up with, they may not be able to be applied. And so you really have to have like a measure of like three things of whether or not that this idea is actually worthwhile to push forward. Because if you come up with a new idea and you present it to your team and it completely changes things, a lot of respect could be lost. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that go into it, but I would just say like have some set of like have a criteria that you set within yourself that allows you to move a pass or fail an idea.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And you mentioned very early on in the interview about talking to the customers and getting customer input into product prototypes when you were developing Penji in particular. So that's a great way to test ideas as well. So what's one of the resources you use most often?
I would say Lumosity, which is like a brain training app, Headspace. I use an app called Fitbod because I like working out, and it kind of just tracks my growth. And I have an Apple Watch that I track for running. I know those aren't like, you know, maybe the questions that you want to ask, but I really don't use I don't use tools.
Yeah.
Like I use Google Drive and I use Trello and Slack. Like that's it.
Okay.
I don't use anything else. I mean, there may be one or two things here and there, but like a lot of times there's all these different tools that people use in order to scale their business. We don't really use them.
Hmm. Yeah. I like the idea of the Fitbod app because I definitely use, I use Strava for the bike riding and to me, there's a metaphor in those apps because what those fitness apps do really well is you set up a goal of some sort. Let's say it might be distance running, how many hours you've trained or a time that you want to achieve for a certain distance perhaps. And then you can set up graphics within the app to display how you're going against that. And I think that's a really great metaphor for business. To actually, you know, set your goals up in that way as well and watch them in some graphical form because it's kind of gives you an instant feedback as to how you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what's the best way to keep a project on track?
Being clear and concise. I think a lot of times when you are giving somebody a project, you probably have this idea of like what you think, how you think it's going to go. And then a large majority of the times it doesn't actually go the way that you think it should go. And then you're probably left scratching your head. Like, why didn't it happen like that? Like, why wasn't I able to accomplish the things that I have it written down? I have everything written down before my meeting. And I'm like, you know, so why isn't this working? And I think it's probably because of how you're explaining things. So like try to be as clear and concise and specifically as you possibly can.
Yeah, that's so important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And when you say clear and concise and specific in a way that the other person understands, because you may think, well, I've explained that really clearly, but if you don't check
but you
back,
didn't.
With, yeah, if you don't check back, yeah, that's right. All right, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Well, I'd be biased if I said that, but I would say I think it's working with a good design team. I think that's the single greatest differentiator in business. If you can look back and think of all the businesses in the world that are successful, I'd say that they have some form of clever branding. They have a business where you look at it and you're like, this is legit and this is a great company. They have a good mission. They have a good vision and all the other, they hit the criteria for you. And I think that's, I think design is the greatest way to differentiate yourself.
Hmm. All right. Well, it would have been surprising if you had have contradicted that message. So that's always good. Yeah. All right. What's the future for Penji?
I think the future is just, we're literally in the infancy of the future of Penji. I think being a year and a half, a little bit over a year and a half old, I think what we've been able to accomplish is great. I think the future, we're about to release, by the time this recording is posted, if you go back to penji.co, you'll probably see a brand spanking new website. You'll also see our brand new updated platform that we just created, that we just released. We're literally releasing it tomorrow. So tomorrow to the people listening is probably not actually tomorrow, so it'll be up live. But yeah, so that is probably, in our opinion, I'd say that the updates that we're making is going to completely revolutionize the way that our industry works and operates. And it's just game-changing stuff that I'm really, really, really excited to share to the world. And I know our team is too, because they've been working their absolute butts off in order to make it possible.
Well, that's exciting. I look forward to seeing that. So thanks for this, Jonathan. This has been really great. So where can people actually access Penji? You mentioned the website there, but let's give it to us again. And where can people reach out to you and say thank you for what you've shared as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Penji.co is the website if you need an on-demand graphic design support for your business. So penji.co. You can follow us on all social media platforms under dotpenji, so .penji. And if you want to follow me, just Jonathan Grzbowski, probably the hardest word you'll ever hear today. Yeah. But if you Google that, just phonetically try and sound it out, and I'm sure you could come across it. But yeah, penji.co.
And we'll have links in the show notes for the listener to just click through as well. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
Find out what is most important to you. And once you do, just make sure you never lose sight of it. If it's yourself, then so be it. I don't think that you'll be successful, but I think you can get pretty far. For me in particular, it was my understanding that I am the people that I surround myself with are team members. I'm there for them. They're not here for me. I think that's probably this, like letting your ego, checking your ego in at the door. Sometimes you might be the boss, so to speak. But there are times where they tell you what you need to do. Right. And then there are times where you might tell them what to do. So check your ego at the door. Nobody's better. Nobody's bigger than anybody. You're not bigger than anybody just because you have a specific title. And then come into work every day willing to learn and collaborate and listen. So just simple things that you just need to live by. Life doesn't have to be so darn hard. Just have fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a few key bits of advice there. Having fun, be willing to listen and learn every day and serve others. If I could give you a snapshot, I guess. All right, Jonathan, finally, who would you like me to interview on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Well, I would say if you can get Tony Hsieh on your podcast, then you need to be able to help him come on my podcast.
Okay.
Tony Hsieh is the Zappos.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So the former CEO, maybe he might be still CEO, but they got bought out by Amazon. So I think Tony Hsieh is the person that single-handedly change the way the customer service industry is to e-commerce businesses. And I think he's one of the most intelligent people when it comes to customer service and growing companies. And what better way to talk about that than the man himself?
All right. Well, we'll see.
But you have to promise me, man. You have to promise. You get him on. You got to help me. You got to hook me up.
All right. I will introduce you. If I can get him on, I will definitely introduce you. So we'll see what we can do to reach out to Tony and get him on the podcast. So thanks so much, Jonathan. I've really enjoyed this today, learning so much more about Penji and the amazing growth and the service itself and your philosophy on business and helping your community. I appreciate you being so generous and open with all your insights and sharing it today, and I've enjoyed this immensely. So I wish you all the best for the future, Penji. I look forward to seeing the new website in the next week or so, and let's keep in touch.
You got it, man. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that inspiring and insightful conversation with Jonathan, and like me, learned from what he shared. For me, it was a really good reminder about serving your customers, understanding the needs of your customers by talking to them, and surrounding yourself with a great team. I'd love to know what you took away from Jonathan's interview. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Penji. That is PENJI, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Penji. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Jonathan there, as well as links to the Penji website, the Blind Entrepreneur podcast, and the other resources we spoke about in this conversation. Jonathan suggested that we interview Tony Hsieh, CEO of Zappos, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So Tony, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Jonathan Grisbowski. Jonathan also had me promise to introduce him to Tony when we land that interview. Finally, I'd like to give a shout out to Dominic Dolan of Canberra, Australia, for his review of the InnovaBuzz podcast. Dominic said, "This is a really enjoyable and inspirational podcast run by Jurgen. The interviewees and topics covered are of great interest and applicable to my client base of early stage and established small to medium enterprises. He draws out the essential elements of the guests' stories, and I would recommend the podcast to anyone in or servicing clients in this sector. Besides that, it is a very enjoyable listen." Thank you, Dominic, for posting that review, and I'm really glad that together with my guests, I'm able to add some value and insights to your business and your clients. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Also, go check out our Tales of Marketing Transformation show at talesofmarketingtransformation.com, where each episode will provide one valuable message to guide you on your journey of marketing transformation. And of course, tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Duncan Smith of ADC Associates and Leanne Hughes of First Time Facilitator. Stay connected. Subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jurgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.